All right. Well, I'm back. I've been gone for a while. My wife successfully gave birth to my second child, our second child. Her name is Riley Piper. She will probably show up in the next couple of weeks. My wife and kids are at home for a little while, just so you guys don't give them COVID or some other disease. You know, safety first. But I am back. We're diving right back into apologetics. We've got two more left. I'm on 11, so I guess that means we've done 10 before this. We've got one more after this, and then we'll never need to worry about apologetics again. We're perfectly able to defend. Now, I'm sure we'll keep learning and growing in this, but this has been a really good study. I hope it has encouraged you and given you some resources for how to defend your faith for yourself, and then also as you go out into the world particularly. Today we're going to be looking at the reality of the resurrection, and I'm extremely excited about this one because of anything that we've learned up to this point. If we can't defend this, if the resurrection did not happen, we can all just go home and never come back to church again. This is probably the most important, the hinge on which the entire Christian religion, Christian faith rests. If there is no resurrection, if Christ died and that was the end of it, anything that comes before that, anything that comes after that is rubbish. We don't need to be here. We don't need to be sharing anything. There's no power. There's no faith. There's no forgiveness. What in the world are we doing here? So this point is unbelievably important, that we understand whether or not this happened. We understand the moving forward. How do we rationalize about this? What are the attacks against it and the answers for that? This is pretty incredible, right? We're talking about a dead person who rose from the dead, who died and is no longer dead. That should be like, wait, what? Someone died, and then 3 days later, they were not dead anymore. That doesn't happen. I hope that hasn't happened that'd be kind of scary. Wait a minute, Grandpa Ed, thought we went to your funeral last week. What are you doing here? And yet we move over this pretty quick. Oh yeah, Jesus rose from the dead. No, we need to let that hit us for a second. That doesn't happen. That's incredible. That's really fantastic, and this is what the world is going to kind of bring up against you, like, you believe dead people, don't stay dead. You need to understand that's pretty wild. And so we need to be able to, okay, yeah, that's what we believe, and here's why. It makes sense, it's reasonable for a collection of reasons, but understand this is the hinge. If this did not happen, we have no business being here. This is ridiculous. This whole church thing, Christianity thing is ridiculous because this is what it all hinges on. But understand, too, that if this did happen, if all of what was leading up to Christ's death and then he actually rose from the dead, you've got no business not believing in this. You have no business not being in church. You have no business not believing everything that he said. Because if Christ did rise from the dead, everything that he said is now valid, and we have to listen to him. And so this is the hinge upon which the entire door swings of this religion. And there's a lot of religions, but this is the one that ours hinges on. And I'm going to bring some interesting attacks against it and why this is particularly unique in the case for all of the different religions that are out there that you could spend your time on. So in defense of the resurrection, how about before we start this, let's pray that this would impact us, that this would be pretty fantastic, that this would allow us to move forward in faith. Let's pray for that. Dear Father, I pray that you would, over the next few minutes, open our hearts and minds. This is such an important topic, that you did rise from the dead, that Christ has risen, that he's no longer dead, but that he did die, but that he is no longer dead. I pray that you would convince us of that we would be firm in that reality, that it would affect us, that moving forward we can defend that, we can have confidence in that, so that all the other things that you've told us to do, all the other miracles, that they would pale in comparison, but also be easy to believe because you did rise from the dead, that the commands that you give us, that we can accept them because you rose from the dead, that the faith that we now have would be firm because you rose from the dead, that we can move forward boldly into the world proclaiming all that you said because you rose from the dead, that you would give us that confidence today in a greater measure. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the reality of the resurrection. First, let's look at the fact that, okay, Jesus died. He said he was going to die. All along the way, he said, I'm gonna die. Like, this is the whole point. The reason that I've been born, the reason that I'm here is to pay for sin. The way that I pay for sin is by dying on the cross. That sin requires death, but for it to be perfect, for it to be complete, for it to not need to keep happening again, it has to be a perfect sacrifice. The only perfect sacrifice is Christ, and so Christ died. The issue is, was it a perfect sacrifice? Who was this person who died? Sure, there had been some miracles, some crazy things that happened, but now Jesus is dead. The issue is that of all the promises that God had made, that Christ had made, the most fantastic one was, I'm going to die, but in 3 days I'm going to rise again. I'm not going to stay dead. And this is critically important. If he does stay dead, sure, he may have been an interesting person. He might have said some fantastic things, but he also promised that he would rise from the dead. If that doesn't happen, are we sure that everything else he said is valid? Are we sure he was actually the Son of God? Because he said he was going to do something that didn't happen if he didn't rise from the dead. Because he said over and over and over again, I'm going to die, but I'm going to raise again. I'm not going to stay dead. I'm going to come back to life. Matthew 16:21, suffer, be killed, rise the third day. Matthew 17:9, say nothing till the Son of Man has risen from the dead. Matthew 17:22-23, be delivered, killed, and raised. Matthew 20:18-19, delivered, condemned, crucified, raised on the third day. Luke 9:23-27, he would suffer, rejected, killed, and raised. John 2:18-22, you destroy this temple, I will raise it up in 3 days. Again and again he says, I'm going to die, I'm not going to stay dead though. Okay, so there's this kind of fantastic promise that he's made of all these things that he said he would do that happened, or these fulfillments of prophecy. It's like, okay, this is all looking pretty good. This is interesting, but you really, really, really need to also rise up from the dead. Because if that doesn't happen, what becomes of everything else that you've said? Were you really the Son of God? Are our sins really paid for? Is there really restitution? Has a perfect sacrifice been made? The answer is no. If Christ is not raised from the dead, the answer is no. And so, obviously, the question becomes simply, did Jesus rise from the dead? Well, on that third day, was the tomb actually empty? And not just empty, but whatever. The Christ who was in the tomb, was he just moved somewhere and still dead? Did they get the wrong tomb? There's all kinds of questions that have come up, but on that third day, was Jesus really alive, walking around somewhere, or was he still dead? And so, you know your Bible, you know the Gospels. After the third day, everything is saying, no, Jesus is risen from the dead. He's seeing people, he's talking with people, he's walking around. And so the evidence is from the historical narrative. If we look at just the track of the narrative, it's exactly what Jesus said would happen, that he's risen from the dead. But again, understand, this is a fantastic thing to say. You can't just go around saying, hey, you remember that person who died last week? I just saw them, and I talked to them. You'd be like, you're crazy. That's not true, because they're dead, and dead people don't do that. And so now that's what people are saying, right? Some women went to the tomb, and hey, it's empty. And we were walking back, and like, we saw Jesus. Like, okay, sure you did. And that's kind of what we see even in the narrative. The disciples are like, oh, I'm not so sure about that. But even someone like Peter is like, oh, wait, Jesus said he was going to raise up from the dead, so I'm going to go check that out because I don't know. Okay, people don't, maybe though. Like he said some fantastic things. There were some, you remember Lazarus? Lazarus was dead and he, maybe. And so he goes off, checks it out. Sure enough, tomb's empty. He believes. But then, boom, Jesus shows up to the disciples and they're like, whoa, this is fantastic. They're, you know, like, can we like, are you really real? Eat a fish, because ghosts don't eat fish, right? Hallucinations don't eat fish. Like, are you guys seeing this? And so the group starts to grow that has seen Jesus. Remember Thomas? He's like, I'm not going to believe unless I put my fingers into the holes. I'm like, there's no, dead people don't come back to life. Like, I need to touch Jesus. I need to really see this. And he does, and the group begins to grow. And now, like, more and more people, like, no, we've actually seen Jesus. Like, I know it's crazy, but we've seen Jesus. So this evidence begins to grow that Jesus is actually risen from the dead. And so more and more evidence is being produced. More and more eyewitnesses are popping up that have actually seen Jesus, that have interacted with him, who are convinced this isn't a ghost, this isn't a hallucination, I'm not crazy, I've seen him. I know it's crazy, I know it's wild, but he said he would do this, and he did. I'm convinced of that. And so this pool of people that have experienced this continues to grow, and so now we've got a problem for anybody who says, I don't believe. That's ridiculous, right? Now you're starting to enter into this court situation where you've got two sides. The one side is dead people don't come back to life. This is impossible. Does not happen. You've got the other side is like, I know, but I've seen him. And you know, you start with two women who've seen Jesus, and it's like, okay, because everybody else is like, no, that didn't happen. Then you start adding more. Now it's some women and all the apostles. You're like, okay, that's getting more difficult to defend against. Still a dead person, though, rising from the dead, not so sure about that. And more and more and more, and it says that Christ appeared to more than 500 people at one time. So now you've got a really large group of people that are like, no, we've seen him. We're not crazy. He's risen from, like, I know that sounds ridiculous, but he's risen from the dead. He did exactly what he said he was going to do. And really, like, if you think about it, is that crazy? Of all the things that Jesus has done and said, like, you've already built up this sort of platform of Jesus does crazy things. He's not normal. He's not just human. Maybe he's also God. Maybe that there's actually something to this. Maybe all these things that he said were true. Maybe he is actually here. Maybe he did die to save us from our sins. Maybe all the things that he said, maybe those are actually true because he rose from the dead. Like everything that he said he was going to do, he did. All the prophecies that he said he was fulfilling, every single one fulfilled. Maybe this isn't crazy. Maybe it's actually all true. And that group begins to grow and grow and get larger and larger who are convinced of this. And yet, a dead person? We saw him die. He's like, he's dead. Dead people don't come back to life, particularly ones that got stabbed in the side and nailed to it. They're like, okay, is he walking or is he like, are you dry? Like, is he alive or is he like, you like propped up? Like, it really? And all these are reasonable. Like, these are reasonable. You don't just say, oh, yay, a dead person back to life. Like, you need to be able to work your way through this. This is ridiculous. This is crazy. But if it happened, everything is real. Everything is true. You have to believe all of it, right? This is the hinge. You can't just pick and choose bits and pieces that seem nice to you, and that's what the world is going to do. Jesus was a good teacher, but he didn't rise from the dead. Jesus said some good things, but he didn't rise from the dead, because if he did, it's all true. You don't get to pick. You have to believe all of it. And so work your way through this, because Jesus needs to be alive, or this is just ridiculous. And so let's work it through, because there's different ways that people will attack this, will come at this. They'll be like, okay, yeah, but they got him out of the tomb. Like, he didn't really die. He, like, fainted on the cross. He's like, oh, I fainted. And then they like put him in a tomb, and then he's like, ooh, actually, you know what? Ooh, I woke back up. I'm good. And then he like came out of the tomb. And so he's like, he's alive, sure. Yeah, he's alive, but he didn't ever really die. So he's like, he's good. Okay. Even if he did faint, he's not walking around talking to people. He's definitely not walking around. And probably not talking. Like he had a spear. Remember that part? And also, oh, the nails that were like in his ankles and his wrists. Like he's not feeling good. Okay, sure, maybe he fainted, but he's not doing the things that he's doing. And besides that, oh right, he got like whipped really badly all over. Like he had no blood left. So okay, sure, he fainted. He's not walking. Okay. Now you're ridiculous to think that somebody could just be walking around ever hanging up on a cross for the stuff that he went through. That's ridiculous. I think I'd almost rather believe that he rose from the dead than think that that could even happen. That's crazy. It would almost be as crazy as, oh, I don't know, him rising from the dead. That would be more likely. So that's not a sufficient argument. Sorry. He did not faint. And if you're going to believe that one, why not just believe that he rose from the dead? Because both are ridiculous. And there's so many, like, there's miracles around it that don't necessarily, like, the big stone that they put in front of the tomb. I don't know about you, but if you just got whipped within an inch of your life and then nailed to a cross with a spear stuck in you, I don't think you're going to be like, ooh, big rock, let me just throw that out of the way so I can get out of here, because, hey, I'm actually alive still. You're not moving a big, giant stone. There was also like a seal put on the door, which wasn't like a, you know, chains or something, but it was a Roman seal that said, if anybody ever gets anywhere near this thing, whack them, kill them. Nobody comes in, nobody comes out. This is Jesus we're talking about. People get crazy with this Jesus character, so they're going to probably try and like, I don't know, be careful. They might try and come and steal him away and, you know, pretend like he's still alive. So make sure if anything happens, anybody gets near this, like, please just get rid of him, kill him. Guard this thing. Don't let anything in or out. And so you can imagine, you know, the guards are in there. Jesus fainted. He comes back up. He's trying to, like, push the stone out of the way. They're not going to be like, oh, let me just let you out. Because, like, there's a bunch of guards there who their life is kind of depending on nobody going in or out of this tomb. So, it just gets more and more ridiculous. And so the next one is, okay, Jesus died. Sure. But he didn't rise from the dead. People stole his body. That's what happened, right? He's still dead. We'll agree on that. He died, but he didn't rise. Somebody, like, they came and they got his body and he stole it. Okay, well, we've already talked about the Roman guards. The disciples aren't going to come and take him away because they're terrified. They have no idea what's going on. They did not understand this whole Jesus is supposed to bring a kingdom, and he just died. Like they're crying back in a house somewhere. They don't know what's going on. They didn't organize some little rescue party of Jesus's body. Plus, I'd still like, okay, we'll entertain the idea for a moment. The guards are all like, you know what? Cool. The one thing that our life hangs on that we're not allowed to let you do, which is steal Jesus's body. Never mind. We'll just let you do that. So they move the stone. They go grab Jesus's body. Jesus still isn't alive. He's still dead. Okay, you got his body, but like now what? Well, how are you? Look, it's Jesus. Okay, but that's yucky. That's a corpse. Please put that back. Like just because you steal Jesus's body doesn't mean you solved any problems, right? He's still dead. He needs to be alive. Do we paint a smile on his face? He's still dead. He needs to be alive. So just because you took him doesn't mean you solved anything. He's alive, and oh, he's not showing up anywhere. He's alive though. But we can't show him to you because we can't. No, because he's dead. Right? So okay, that's not working for me. The disciples did not steal him away. The other one might be either like they got the wrong tomb. Check another tomb. Like, there's only so many. They knew exactly what, like, Joseph of Arimathea was his tomb. Go find Joseph. Hey, where's your tomb? Is it empty? Or is there still a body in there? Also, like people knew where this grave was. not that hard to find. Another one would be the Pharisees took them. Wait, why would they do that? They took him in a sense that they put him in a tomb, put a guard around him. Nobody gets in. Like, that was them taking him, right? They didn't steal him. What they did was put him in a tomb, lock it up really tight to guarantee nobody else could touch this thing because Jesus needs to stay there. He needs to keep being dead and for everyone to know this is where dead Jesus is. There's a big stone in the front. There's a bunch of guards. He's in there. He's dead. This whole thing's over. Right? That was what their mission was. They're not taking him anywhere. And so now you've, like, there's, what are you going to do? Again, it would have been simple. Like, if Jesus, you look at the history, you look at the people that are going to fight against it, the tomb is empty. The question isn't whether or not Jesus actually came out of the tomb. It's like, did he come out alive or not? That's kind of what you're grappling with, is Jesus. Everybody agrees, more or less, like the tomb is empty. It's just, did he walk out? Was he alive when he came out, or did somebody steal him away? And it just gets more and more ridiculous when you try and rationalize with the evidence that's available that everybody says, we saw him alive. We talked with him. He ate a fish in front of us. Dead people don't eat fish. They also don't appear to loads of people. Alive people do that. Alive people talk. People that live and breathe, like those are the people that eat fish. Dead people don't do that. And so you've got this growing group of people. And so now the defendants who say, wait, dead people don't do this, they have to come up with evidence against it. And again, it's this court situation of us versus them in the sense that there's a group that believe he's alive and a group that says that's ridiculous, but overwhelmingly the support is saying no. He is alive. And so now that's what you have to grapple with yourself. I mean, if there was this kind of evidence for any other thing, any other normal thing, right? You going out to Pizza Hut to eat a pizza. Okay, maybe that's crazy. You'd never do that, right? Or you ate some okra. I don't know if you like okra raw, but like something ridiculous. It's like, okay, I would never, like, everybody says you would never do that, but somebody saw that you did. It's like, okay, they would never do that. I don't believe you. What if 500 people said, I'm pretty sure I saw me eat a raw piece of okra? If, like, 500 people, okay, you did that, didn't you? Yeah, I did. And it was tasty. If that was the evidence, if that was coming up against, you don't need 500 people to convince a jury that this is what actually happened. And so why would we treat this really any differently? It's crazier. It's wild. But there's so much evidence to point in the direction, no, this actually did happen. And because of all the other things that Jesus did, all the miracles that aren't as disputed, all the things that Jesus did, it doesn't really seem that crazy. For all the prophecies that he actually did fulfill, we're already way on the spectrum of like unlikely things that actually happened. And so it becomes a lot easier to accept, to believe like, okay, maybe this actually did happen. And again, now the issue is going to be, if this really did happen, I have to accept it all. I can't not believe everything else he said. If he really rose from the dead, I have to live my life according to, it's game over. Jesus is God. And now everything he said, I have to believe, I have to obey, I have to follow, because every promise he made came true, including that he rose from the dead. Jesus raises people from the dead. That's what God does. He did it with Lazarus. He did it with that God does that. And so if Jesus himself rises from the dead, God is real. The promises he make come true. He has complete, ultimate, perfect power. And now I've got no choice. I move over from that side of the room to this side of the room, from not believing, from being skeptical, to now I believe. I trust in him. The things he says are true. He really did rise from the dead. And that is the hinge. Paul understood this. This is a really good verse. If you think I'm exaggerating this point, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 16 through 22. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. Do you understand that? If you can't defend the resurrection of Christ, if you don't believe, if you're not convinced that this happened, if you can't come right to this point and say, of all the miracles that I believe in, of all the crazy stuff, I believe that Jesus rose from the dead. If you can't confidently stand on that and say, I believe that that actually happened, what are you doing? Your faith is worthless. You have no hope. Don't waste your time if you can't accept that, if you don't believe that, if you're not firm in that actually happening. But, continues on, verse 20 in 1 Corinthians 15. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. This is our hinge. This is what everything else rides on. If Christ isn't raised, we're not raised. The faith is worthless. Yes, yay, Christ died for our sins. Like, that's the thing that he came to do. But if he didn't rise from the dead, if that promise isn't fulfilled, we have no business. It wasn't sufficient. He wasn't the perfect sacrifice. He didn't appease the wrath of God. We're still hopeless. Oh goodness. We're still underneath the wrath of God. If Christ is not raised, if he's still dead, if that was the end of it, if he tried really hard, but he didn't get raised from the dead, then it's pointless, it's worthless. Let's stop wasting our time on this. But if he did rise from the dead, everything he said was true. All the promises he made were true. We're forgiven of our sins. We have an avenue by which we can have restoration with God. We can have our sins forgiven. We have hope for an eternity with God. It all hinges on this. So spend your time here. Convince yourself of this. Go through the material you need to. This is crazy, but it has to be true for this to be worth anything. Paul understands this. And he is confident, as are anyone who saw Jesus, right? If you see a dead person walking, that's pretty convincing. And they weren't wavering in that. They knew that that happened. They seen him, and it doesn't matter who else in the world. Like, the question becomes like, did you see Jesus? You didn't see him? Well, I did, so I believe. I understand that it's crazy. I understand that it's hard. But I saw Jesus alive, and so I believe it. And that's what you see throughout the rest of the New Testament, is bearing witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's laid on that foundation of the eyewitnesses who saw Jesus, who walked with Jesus, who saw the promises, saw him die, and then three days later rise again. When they saw the risen Christ, that built that unshakable foundation that it doesn't matter who else, what else, I saw Jesus alive. And that means that everything he said was true. It means that he was God. It means that no matter what sacrifice I make in life, that who cares? Jesus said that I get eternity with him. If I repent of my sin, if I turn and believe, that I spend eternity with him. That's what he said. And he also rose from the dead. Everything he said was true. There's nothing in life that you can offer me. There's no counter argument. I believe. And that's what the foundation is built on. Right? And so any of these arguments that come up against it where they just believed a lie, they were all hallucinating, they were so like deep into it that they couldn't like, oh, we can't backtrack now, Jesus is the greatest. And if we say that he's not, everyone like, oh, we get a bunch of shame put on us. Like, well, let's just pretend like he rose from the dead. Right? That's the argument that's going to be used. You don't die for stuff that you know is a lie. right? People will die for things that they believe are true. Christian, like, there aren't only Christian martyrs. People will die for the faith that they have, even if it's not true faith. Understand that. People will die. Muslims, like other faiths, people will die for a faith that is not true, but they don't believe that it's a lie. They are convinced that it's true. Humans can be deceived. Humans can believe things that are not true, but they don't die for things that they're positive or lies. If the disciples knew that Jesus was still dead, if they had stolen his body away, like, yo, he's still dead, but we're going to pretend like he's alive, and we're going to live our whole life that way, and we're going to go to our death for that. That's crazy. You don't die for stuff that you're positive was a lie, particularly if you'd built all of this hope, all of this desire, like, oh, Jesus, the Messiah is finally here. We're so excited. The kingdom is coming. They were thrilled. And then Jesus dies, and it's like, I didn't think that was the way it was supposed to be. Like, if Jesus doesn't come back to life, that was a fun run, but now we're going back to Judaism because that was at least better than a dead Jesus. But Jesus rose from the dead, and so it validated. They're confident. They're sure. And that's, again, that's the argument that the world is going to bring. Like, oh, Christians are the only people that die for their faith. There's other people that do that. And you haven't seen Jesus. I haven't seen him. I trust in the testimony of those who did see Jesus, the foundation that was laid, of people who were eyewitnesses, the evidence that they've produced, that they did see Jesus, that they did build their lives. People don't die for stuff they know is a lie. The disciples died for something that they were sure was true, and that is that they saw Jesus alive. And if you spend any time understanding how arguments work, how evidence works, the overwhelming evidence is that Jesus actually rose from the dead. And if that is true, you've got no business not being a Christian. Because people don't just make, like, you look at all the other religions. Did any of them say, hey, I'm going to go die, and in a few days later, I'm going to rise up again, and that's going to be the proof that everything I did was valid, everything I did was true? You couldn't make a promise like that. And so there are plenty of other religions, there are plenty of other ways to live your life and faiths that you can have. But did their leader say, I'm going to die, and in 3 days I'm going to come back to life, and that's going to be the thing that proves that everything I said was true? They don't come back to life. They stay dead, and they may have some good teachings, some morals, some things you can kind of live your life by. You might even die for some of the things that they said, hills that you're willing to die on. But Jesus said, I'm going to die, and in 3 days later I'm going to rise from the dead. That's insane. That's incredible. Unless it happened. If it happened, again, everything he said is validated. He's God. Only God can do those types of things. This is a God thing. So understand, Christianity doesn't stand up in a line with all the other religions saying we're all the same. Pick and choose which one makes the most sense to you. Christianity's ridiculous. Jesus said these fantastic moral, you know, law code that he put out for ways for humans to live in the world and interact with each other. Oh, but he also said, I'm going to die, and 3 days after I die, I'm going to come back to life. That's not what the rest of the world religions are going to say, because humans can't do that. They don't say, hey, I'm going to die, and in 3 days later, I'm going to come back to life. Nail me to a cross, whip my back, poke me with a spear, kill me, make sure you really kill me. And then 3 days later, by my own power, I will raise myself. God will raise me up because I am God, and all these things that I'm saying are true. I have made a perfect sacrifice. You can be saved from your sins. Turn and repent, and I'm the only way. He sets himself over all the other world religions who might put out some good things. They may say some things that line up with things that Jesus said, but only Jesus makes that kind of audacious statement, because he can actually accomplish it. He can actually rise from the dead. And if he did, and he did, Christianity is true, and everything that Jesus said is true. So we are not to be pitied. As Paul says, if this didn't really happen, we're the most people to be pitied, because we're wasting our time on something that people were fooling themselves with. You haven't seen Jesus? Yeah, but the disciples did. Oh, they made it up. I don't think so. I don't think so. They saw Jesus. They saw Jesus alive. Hundreds of people did. I know it's crazy, but you look at the way that people make decisions. When it's a this way or that way, you produce evidence, and the evidence that was produced is that Jesus was alive, and they lived for that. They died for that. You don't die for something that you're positive is a lie. Positive is not true. And they did. So I think they thought it was true. I think they were convinced that it was true. And so what business do I have not believing in this? It's filled with hope. It's fantastic. Rescue from my sin. Restoration with God. An eternity of bliss, of hope. I would love for that to be true, and the evidence produced is that it is. And so we are not to be pitied. We are to be courageous, confident, bold, and assertive. This is no small thing. It's the hinge, it's the impossible miracle, the resurrection of Jesus, which happened. It really happened in history, on this earth. And that even as the seal of the tomb was broken, even as Jesus came out, that stamp of approval, the confidence, the evidence, the overwhelming confidence that we can have to go out into the world to say Jesus is alive. And we can build our life in confidence through the truths of Scripture, through the things that are written here, because of the confidence we have in the resurrection of Christ. I hope that's encouraging to you. I know this is where I landed when I was working my way through apologetics, where it all hinges on this. Of all the fantastic, crazy things that have happened, all the things that I'm going to need to believe, it all comes down to this. If this didn't happen, there's nothing else to do. I'm going to go pick something else. I'm just going to go and be hopeless, because if this doesn't happen, then Christianity definitely isn't for me. But if this did happen, if this is true, if the evidence produced leads us to believe that Jesus rose from the dead, everything else that follows, everything else that came before can be accepted in confidence that it did happen and that we can build our lives on it. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you rose from the dead. I thank you for your sacrifice, for the payment of sin, but I thank you that it was perfect, that you did die as God, the perfect sacrifice proven through the resurrection, that even as you died, we can die, but that as you rose, we can rise through the life of Christ as we place our faith and trust in him, as our sins are paid for by your sacrifice, that our life can be bound up in your life, risen from the dead, that we can have confidence in that, that it is not ridiculous to believe. I pray that you would give us that confidence, that we would move forward into the world with this bold confidence of a trust in a risen Savior, that you would build that into us day by day more and more, that we would be unwavering in this, and that you would convince others through us of this truth, of this reality, and that you would save many, bringing them into your kingdom, worshipers of Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.